the view from Wayne, America.
Welcome to Northeast Nebraska's longest-running public affairs radio program. This is The View from Wayne, America. From politics to education, from agriculture to business, you'll hear it all right here. Opinions expressed by our guests may not reflect those of this station. Now turn up your radio and enjoy today's View.
The View from Wayne, America. Enjoy the view.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Dan back with you, as promised. Wes Lakey joining us this morning. Good morning, Wes.
Good morning, Dan.
How's things in your life? Ready for Thanksgiving?
I think as much as possible. Okay. How about you?
I'll be around. I'll be down serving soup tomorrow night, doing the Optimus thing.
Sure. So. Okay. Yeah. Still doing the Optimus.
Yep.
At
Our Savior.
Our Savior. Okay.
Yep. Anybody wants to come have some good soup?
I've missed out on that the last few years, even when I was employed by Economic Development, just with basketball practice and stuff that I've been doing. But Irene always took care of it, and I'm sure it's in good hands with Irene again for the Parade of Lights.
Yes, it's going to be a busy night tomorrow.
Yeah, and it should be decent. Cooling down a little bit.
Yeah, it's a little iffy, it looks like.
A little precipitation, possibly.
It says that actually there's a 90% chance of rain or snow tomorrow.
Oh, But exactly at 6:30, is there?
Yeah, I don't have it. Not that specific.
Okay,
we'll see. Right. Yeah, there's a lesser chance for the
I thought you were a weatherman, Dan. I thought you could be that, too.
No, I just read what they send me. I can't take credit or blame, please. Anyway, we'll manage. We'll have some fun no matter what it's like.
Absolutely.
Okay, the city council met last night.
They did. It was a short agenda. And it turned out to be about an hour long meeting or so. Mm-hmm. So about what we, I guess, expected.
A normal thing. Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Well, let's find out what happened.
Sure. Well, first item on the agenda was, well, number five on the agenda was appointment of Molly Young to the library board.
Mm-hmm.
Ellen Imdeck is stepping down from that. She's done it for many, many years and time to do something different. And, Molly Young obviously is very well versed in the fine arts and
yes.
things like that. And I think she will do a great job with on the library.
Molly will do quite well.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. How many people are on the library board?
There are five.
Okay.
Yep. Tony Carollo is the chair of that board. So if you have interest, I'm sure they're always looking for that. That's probably a board that doesn't get a whole lot of volunteers. So if you have an interest, tell Tony, or you can always tell Betty McGuire or myself, and we can get it to Tony, that if somebody is, you know, you sit there on a board thinking it's kind of a life sentence at times, and it's like if somebody else would want to step up and do something like that, a lot of times you got a board member saying, I'm ready to be done. It's just I'm doing it because I think I need to. It needs to
right.
be filled. So if you have any interest in those types of things, let us know, and we will get it to the right person.
Okay. Anyway, okay, well, Molly will do a great job.
Yes, she will.
Things will go on as they should with yep. the library. All right, again, more firemen.
Yeah, Phil Monahan, fire chief, last night said after last night we could fill a whole truck just off of last night's new members. They approved the action for application for four firefighters and one cadet. And so all went well, and since you had so many different action items on that, five different action items, I think everyone got a little different question on what's probationary period mean? What does a cadet program mean? How are we doing with bunker gear? And just et cetera, et cetera. Just, so everybody got a question on that. And of course, Phil had to answer all that. The new members couldn't, but
they didn't grill the new firemen.
No, not bad at all. So we welcomed four new ones and a cadet. I think we have three cadets now in the program, and so that's going very well because mm-hmm. I believe one of our previous cadets is on the fire department itself. So it's been a really good program for that.
All right. If anybody has any interest in finding out about that, they can talk to Phil Monahan probably.
I think we're at 43 now. And I believe the department can hold 48. So don't have a lot more that we could put on, but we still could. It always comes down to budget. Bunker gear is very expensive, and Phil kind of explained that last night. It's about $2,300, $2,500 to equip somebody in new bunker gear, and that's just pants and and their coats and a helmet. But so when you spend that money early on for new bunker gear for other people, it's sometimes tough to bring new ones on. He was very creative with this group and got some used stuff, still having like 6 to 7 years left of life on it, mm-hmm. and at a fraction of the cost, about 10% of the cost each outfit. So Phil does a great job with the fire department, and he keeps soliciting and getting more people to volunteer. So if you have interest in that, see Phil Monahan for that one.
And we appreciate everything all
absolutely
those guys and gals do. All right, let's see. Move on to other business type things. The annexation of real estate.
We're halfway through the agenda already, Dan. annexation of land. This is what has been formally called the Loggy property, the old auction site. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what else we've called it. It's south of the elevator. So it's not only that piece of property that's, I don't remember how many acres it is, around 6 acres. Then there's also a sliver along the trail that the city actually owns. So the action is actually on two different pieces of property, what we're going to call the Loggy property as well as some city property. Doing that to, in order for us, first of all, we want to get our own property in city limits. And in order to do that, you can't create a donut hole. That's illegal to do. There are donut holes out there, not in Wayne. Well, there's one in Wayne. It's illegal to do, but at the time this was done, that wasn't a provision. But then they kind of started looking at city jurisdictions and said, why are these holes, you know, all around? Because how can you get to a donut hole if you have to come across city property or city city's limits to get into really the county? It makes no sense. So going forward, I think the city is looking at trying to clean some of that type of stuff up. But so not knowingly creating a donut hole, we can't do that. So that's why we had to bring this property in as well. Why would we want that property? The city property, because we like to have city property in city limits so we can get to it, fire or police and things like that. The other reason is we're replatting that area around the lagoon and the old community garden and tree farm and all that area. And so in order to do all that, you have to request to be annexed to replat. Well, we have to request. Well, we're not going to tell ourselves no. So that's why it makes sense to our portion to be annexed. And again, to create that donut hole can't happen. So that's why we're going around this. Last Planning Commission meeting, they recommended unanimous approval. Last night, it was unanimous as well on the first reading of the ordinance. So there will be two more readings. This is one where you can't waive the readings. You have to read three separate readings with annexation.
You want to kind of briefly mention what the significance of being in the city and not in the city is?
Yep. You bet, Dan. So there's conversations all the time. People ask inside, outside city limits. So the cons, let's go with that first, of being inside city limits. And I shouldn't say cons. It's more of, if you haven't been in city limits, what would it mean? Well, it means you're going to pay property taxes inside for the city portion of property taxes.
That's the first thing that comes to mind.
Absolutely. Yes. That always is. The other thing is going to be sales tax. You then pay sales tax at the city rate, not just the state rate. County doesn't have a rate, which can happen, but Dakota County is the only county in the state of Nebraska that I'm aware of that has a countywide sales tax. So those are the two biggest items. The benefits of being in city limits, if you currently are not, is your water and sewer rates are less. It's double outside city limits. Some people that think that is kind of harsh to be outside of city limits and have to pay double the water and sewer, but it's to entice you to become into the city limits. There are some areas that the city doesn't want to annex at this point, but it still has maybe water and sewer services too, just for policing and things like that. The other advantage is you have police protection from the city and not the county. County does a great job, don't get me wrong on that. It's just city has more, you know, a little more compact and maybe a little better response time and things like that, because the county, obviously, they're going across a lot of area. Yep, absolutely. So not discounting county services by any means. It's just a matter of city services hopefully is a little more responsive, at least with time. Sometimes this really occurs with businesses, your insurance rates can be substantially reduced if you're inside city limits because of fire response. And sometimes they don't say how far you away from a fire department. It's if you're in city limits. So even if you could be further away, but outside city or inside city limits, they're still going to give you that break because you're inside city limits, and so your fire protection is supposedly going to be a quicker response there too. So that's a few things that are good, bad, and ugly on annexation, and why would you do it? When you do annex, you have to have a plan in place to be able to give all city services to that piece of property. So, for example, that Loggy property has, we just put sewer in last spring on the south side of it. So that lot is now served by both water and sewer, and you have to have that in place upon annexation or a plan to get that in place.
Okay. Sale of some property. We've talked about this before.
We did. Yep. And there is some new information on this one. So on the agenda was a resolution to rescind the previous resolution and approve a new resolution. So let me explain why that happened. At last meeting, at 2 weeks ago, the council voted to approve the sale. So you have to have a resolution and an ordinance. First, I need to go back here and read what it actually states. One, you authorize the sale. You first put it up for sale, and then you actually authorize the sale to an individual party. So it was the resolution was passed to sell the property to Ed and Lee Brogy. We had two bids on the property: Wayne State College Foundation and Ed and Lee Brogy. Wayne State College Foundation bid $1,500, silent bid $1,500, Ed and Lee Brogy bid $501. So there was a difference of $999. And so the council weighed that last time and determined that property taxes would be paid by one individual versus the foundation wouldn't pay property taxes, or the state, I should say, the state college. And so they went through that. There's an issue with the property, this little sliver of property that has a sewer line. Ed and Lee Brogy sewer line to their house actually goes onto this property, so there'd be need to be an easement created on it. So there were some issues with that, so a lot of good discussion. At the end of the night, voted 4-3 to approve the sale to Ed and Lee Brogy. Staff had put in place our recommendation to sell to Wayne State College because it was the high bid. And so they changed that. They authorized it to Ed and Lee Brogy. Then the first reading of the ordinance also on a 4-3 vote. Now, why that's important is 4-3 vote, you'd think, majority, it passes. Well, a resolution and ordinance have to have a fifth affirmative vote. Typically, people think the mayor can only break a tie. That's just kind of the same. People just assume that it's only... Well, the mayor can also vote when that his or her vote would create that fifth affirmative vote for whatever action it is. So the mayor could have voted that evening. He wasn't allowed to, or we didn't. You could say it was a mistake by staff, the attorney, the administrator, the clerk, whoever you want to blame it, that we didn't think of that. It was 4-3 it passed. Because we don't get many of those at all.
Okay. Yeah.
So both of those pass. I'm putting that in quotes, 4-3. And as Betty's typing up the minutes, she's the one that caught it and said, "We need a fifth vote here." So we started doing some research on it and got Amy Miller, the attorney, involved. And said, it's not a valid action, so we need to go back and redo it. So, that's why on this agenda, you saw a resolution rescinding the previous resolution, even though you could say, well, that resolution didn't exist. For history purposes, and to make sure we document things, we wanted to officially rescind that action, even though you could argue it was no action at all. But just to put that in the minutes and to document it. And so... we had two new things on the agenda. One, the resolution to rescind and approve, and then the ordinance to pass the sale. So, what happened? There was a lot of discussion on who should own this property. Again, it was a very split decision last time with one council member absent. And so, a lot of discussion back and forth on that, and it was leading towards no action was going to be taken. What happened was they said, well, either the Brogies could own it, this college could own it, or we could just retain ownership of it and say, we'll deal with it later, or we'll hold on to it at this point. And I don't know how much you want to go into this, but every retreat the council talks about, where do we have property that we could get back on the tax roll? That, I mean, we always have that discussion, not saying that they're all in favor of it or against it, but that we always have that discussion. So that was why we initially brought this up. We had an offer from the Brogies to purchase the property a month or so ago, and the council rejected that. It was an offer of $200 to purchase the property. The council rejected that and said, instead, we're going to go out for bids. So we went out for bids, got two bids, and ultimately they decided that it should stay in the city's hands. So a resolution was put forward, motion was made, a second, and it failed by a 3-5 vote. So the resolution failed to rescind the previous resolution and to approve a new resolution, and then the next step would have been to authorize the ordinance for sale, and that there was no action taken on that. So by default, no sale is happening. It is staying in the city's hands, and the city will maintain it. That's currently where we sit. I know that was long, but if you follow that at all, if you have any questions, you can give me a call on it. Again, it was I'm going to say staff error or oversight that we did not have that fifth vote, or it likely would have passed. Still very close, and then another council member would have been at the next meeting, and so I'm sure there would have been more discussion. And so in the end, the city is retaining ownership of that property.
Okay. Are we revisiting this again, or is that...
I have a feeling, again, Dan, every retreat we have, we talk about excess property and what we should we do with that property. This one, I think we've hashed it out quite a bit. I have a feeling this one will stay in city hands for the foreseeable future, at least.
200 years from now, when somebody finds the records about this, they'll say, what are those idiots doing?
I don't know what they'll say in 200 years. I would think, you know, that... that property is going, you know, if it makes sense for one of those two owners or one of those two, the bid on it. If the college expands across 10th Street there or further than they did with their criminal justice building, they're going to be interested in it again. And if Brogies ever want to develop that corner further because they own the house on the corner, they're going to be very interested in it again. And if they have a plan in place, that was the other thing. Neither party has any plan
immediate
to do anything with it. So I think that's when the city said, okay, fine, we'll just keep it at this point. But if one of those parties or somebody else came to us and said, this is the plan we have, this is what we're going to build or what we're going to turn it into, I think then the city would be very interested in listening again.
All right. I guess we'll move on now. Let's see. What else is there? The Community Activity Center.
Yep, that was the last item on the agenda. Amber Schwarty and Joey Lanahan were both at the meeting, being CAC workers. Amber is the recreation service coordinator, and Joey is kind of the manager of the facility down there. And so what this stemmed from was, again, we talked about it at a retreat, about putting just a 13-foot wall lengthwise and about 10 feet tall by the concession area to increase the cardio equipment to expand that a little bit. The weight room, if you've never been down there, it can get incredibly busy, and people are kind of on top of each other depending on the time of the day. And other times you go down there, it's a ghost town. I mean, that's just way, you know, activity centers work like that. And so to try to free up a little bit of space, that concession stand area is hardly ever used. It's tough for the front desk workers to see in there. They can't see in there, so they have to physically see what kids are doing in there, and then there's a youth room on the other side. So trying to get the youth into one area is kind of the hope with this project. And so we talked about it. Amber had gotten a couple bids on it. We talked a little bit about fire codes and things like that. And so it was tabled last night so we can get more information about fire codes and see what we need, have the fire marshal have a discussion with them and see if this is still fine to go forward with. The other conversation is, haven't done anything down there since it opened with, you know, renovations. They switched the youth room and the weight room around at one point because of the, how can you see kids in the weight room, you know, where it currently is. And so they talked about, maybe it's time for a major renovation down there. And when we talk major renovation, we would talk, there's a lot of dead space when you come into that area, when you come in the front door. Do we need to have the desk closer to the front door? Does that free up some office spaces that can now be excess weight room area? And so a lot of renovations in there. We've got obviously the track that needs some work on. It's bubbling in places. We have that. There's that grand idea out there. Do we add on an additional gym space? Do you have then space for an upper track? Do you put in an indoor pool? I mean, there's just a lot. That's way out there. But initially it was, what can we renovate with some of the offices and weight room and things like that. And so I'm going to be talking to the district more about any grant opportunities that might be available for some planning of that. We didn't get into that last night, but that'll likely come forward in the next month or so to the council to talk more about it. So the discussion is, do you do small little things if you're going to do a major renovation? But if you're not going to do a major renovation for 5 years, is it worth to put up a $12,000 wall and flooring and moving some things around to get 5 years out of it? We think it is. And so, but that's what, again, we're going to check with the fire marshal, make sure everything's kosher there, and then probably look at doing a little more planning on the facility in general.
All right.
So that a lot of big ideas there, but we've got to kind of hone it into what can we afford? What can we do with what we have?
We'll hear more later
yes,
on that.
Yes, you will. Yep. Absolutely.
All right. Well, that was the end of the agenda.
It is. Yeah. Like I said, not many items, but it was good discussion on a lot of different things. So I would remind everyone about our snow and ice removal policies.
We haven't talked about that
yet
this
just
year.
That we had, you know, kind of had one sneak up on us a little bit. luckily, it wasn't very much, but there was some ice associated, and yes. That's never fun. Unless it's, you know, obviously the body shops don't mind it that much. But but anyway, the rules are within 24 hours after the city has cleared the street, and you could argue what's clear mean, once they've come past, you have 24 hours to clear your sidewalk as well. Again, it's a safety issue for people that are trying to utilize the sidewalks. Not everybody has a car. People are walking all over the place. We encourage that for obviously wellness and things like that. So the same token, we try to get our trail opened as soon as possible, but do know that we will be opening parking lots and things like that before we get on a trail. So we will get to it as soon as possible, and hopefully Mother Nature can work her magic on sunshine and warm temperatures to get rid of stuff as soon as possible. But just to remind people on that, I know I'm kind of a broken record, but this time of the year we just need to remind people with what that ordinance means.
All right. So if anybody has any questions, they can call down to the city office and they'll explain it to you.
Absolutely. So.
All right, and we got our getting our Christmas tree light turned on. I see city crew did some work on that.
Should happen tomorrow night. Hopefully everything works. They tested it. North Main was been up for about a week or so. I think South Main stuff was going on just the last couple days. So had really good weather to put Christmas decorations up. That's for sure. So it's all we always get. We get a lot of compliments on from people outside the community that come through Wayne during the holidays. They really like the downtown area and what we do with Christmas decorations down there. So that was good foresight, you know, back whenever those poles were done in 2006, 2007, to do some added decorations downtown.
Yep, they do look very nice.
Yeah,
yes.
They do.
All right, Wes, I'll let you get back to work.
Sounds good, Dan. Thank you very much.
Talk to you next time. Wes Blake, your guest again today on The View from Wayne, America.
The View from Wayne, America.
You've been listening to The View from Wayne, America, Northeast Nebraska's longest-running public affairs radio program. Opinions expressed by our guest may not reflect those of this station. From politics to education, agriculture to business, we cover it all. Program content is copyrighted by Wayne Radio Works, LLC.
The View from Wayne, America.